exceptional piece by Rabbi Nachman. So the Torah says the following, Va'asisa, number one, I just put everything on a sheet tonight because I figured it'd just be a little bit easier than jumping back and forth. But Va'asisa Shnayim Kruvim Zahav Miksha Ta'aseh Osam Mishnei Ketzel Sakapor. So the Torah says, remember again, Parshas Truma gets into all of the details concerning the creation of the Kalim of the Mishkan. So the Torah says you'll make two kruvim. Now there's a lot of machlokis in general about the nature of these kruvim. What did they look like? What were their faces like? Male, female, one male, one female, two male, children, adults, all machlokis in the farshim. And anyway, we're not going to get into that tonight. But the Torah says you'll make two kruvim. Miksha ta'aseh. So remember again, one of the amazing architectural feats of the Mishkan is that you had these utensils that were carved out, that were hewn out from these blocks of gold. So first of all, just to see that amount of gold, it must be fascinating to see a huge chunk of gold and then to literally chisel it down into these images. And you'll make one kruv on one side of the aron, the other kruv on the other side of the aron, and you shall make the kruvim on the two sides. V'hayu pasachof, v'hayu hakruvim, parsei knafayim l'malo. And the kruvim, when they're situated on the lid of the aron, literally they'll have their wings spread upwards. Parsei knafayim l'malo. Now again, what that means over here is that instead of the wings being by their side, the wings literally are extended above the heads of the kruvim. Sochechin bekanfehem ala kapores, literally covering the lid, the kapores, with their wings. Upneim ishal ochiv, and they would face each other ala kapores, yihin yu pnei kruvim. To the kapores, facing the kapores, will be the faces of the kruvim. So the Mefarshim speak and extensively about the symbolism regarding the kruvim. You know, there's I quote over here, there's a beautiful Rabbi Ramban brings down, he says so beautifully that the kruvim, the Gemara says, so they were both images of young people, one male, one female. And the Ramban actually brings down, he says that it was supposed to look like a young couple, a chassan and kala. So it's beautiful about a chassan and kala. You know, remember like when you first get married, so pashat like you think that once you find your bashert, so like the rest of life is just easy, right? Baruch Hashem, you found someone you love, it's incredible. And you think like for the rest of your life, everything is just going to be perfect and wonderful. No struggles, nothing. So okay, it doesn't always work out that way. And so even if a person is blessed, Baruch Hashem, with a beautiful marriage, at some point in time, the rest of life sets in as well. The Ramban brings down that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to say that the same way that a chassan is excited about his kala, the same way that a couple is so madly in love, and all the chassan thinks about this is kala, and all the kala thinks about this is chassan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's the love I want you to have for me. That's the level of intensity of relationship that I want to share with you. Literally, like a young couple in love. Such a beautiful image. But I want to share with you, of course, from the Rebbe. So the Rebbe says the following. In the Sefer Nachlei Dvash, take a look at number 4. Actually, the Rebbe quotes it in two places. In number 3, I quoted it to you over here from the Likutei Moharan. So in the Likutei Moharan, the Rebbe discusses this idea, but not as extensively as it's brought down in Nachlei Dvash. So take a look at number 4. I'm just going to warn you, this is magnificent Torah. So if you only came here for mediocre Torah, yeah, you should leave. But this mamish, this is li'elo u'li'elo. Isa b'tikune Zohar. El male kanfereya diminashri aliba haveliba okit kogufa. So he calls the Zohar says that were not that the wings of the lungs, kanfereya literally means the wings of the lungs, would blow air onto the heart would burn up the entire body. Now what does this mean? Says the Rebbe, Shimareya lo haisa minashavis bechenafea alalif. Were it not for the lungs that pump air onto the heart, haya halev soref umavir eskolaguf meirov chamimuso. So says there was something amazing. Were it not for the fact that the lung pumps air onto the heart, So the heart would incinerate the entire body through just its intensity. Remember, the heart is the seat of emotion. So the emotion of man, says the Tzar, is so strong that were it not for the cooling powers or cooling characteristics of the lungs, literally the heart would burn up the entire individual. So what does this mean? So the Rebbe here gives what I think is an absolutely amazing interpretation. He says, "V'ha'inyan ki yesh b'leif ha'adam shnei minei tav'oros meduras esh." So the Rebbe says, and this also is amazing, there are two different fires that burn within the heart of man. Letov ulehefech. There's a good fire and there's a bad fire. What does that mean? I'm saying differently. Letov, there's a fire that burns for good. Ulehefech, there's a fire that burns for bad, but ushnehem einam tovim. The Rebbe says both types of fire are not good. What does that mean? We just said one of the fires is good. So how can you say? So understand, there's the eish tov, there's the eish ra, but both fires are both not good. So what does that mean? He says, "Ki lefamim leiv ha'ish ha'yisraeli boer ma'od la'Hashem yisbarach ki yekad yakud ish." I say sometimes a person could be so on fire for the Ribono Shel Olam. Sometimes a person could be so consumed by a passion and a desire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that mamish, his heart is consumed with passion for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval hu yoser midai. I will say, who has ever heard of such a thing like this? Where have you ever come to a shir and heard that, you know, sometimes you could just get a little bit too carried away with your avodas Hashem? Right? So what the Rebbe is saying is something amazing. That sometimes a person can be so on fire for the Ribono Shel Olam that it becomes an Eish Ochla, becomes an all-consuming fire, and an all-consuming fire in the service of God is not a good fire. Why? He says, "Va'afa pi shebor laHashem isbarach." Even though that fire is burning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mikom makom eino tov. An all-consuming fire for avodas Hashem, Rabbosai, is not good. Ki tzarech laavodas Hashem b'mida ubegavul lefi madrigasov yachaloso. This is incredible. You saw, says the Rebbe, every single person, let's analyze this statement, has to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mida. What does b'mida mean?
Measure.
In a measure, b'gvul, a boundary, lefi madregaso v'yachalaso. Right? In accordance with your station, in accordance with your madrega, your level, v'yachalaso, and your will. I say, what is the Rebbe saying? That sometimes a person, you know, the Rambam brings this down. The Rambam says that in Hilchos Deos, that the proper path in life is the Derech HaMamutza, the middle path. The Rambam says extremism is not good. Of course, the exception, by the way, that Rambam brings down is you're supposed to be an extremist in certain areas. For example, the Rambam says Kas. So you're supposed to be an extremist in Kas. Every single media, you're supposed to have a middle ground. Kas, the Rambam says, anger, you should have none of it. None of it. Just as an aside, by the way, so the Rambam says, so what happens if a person has an anger management problem? I have a kas problem. So how does the Rambam say to handle your kas problem? The Rambam says something, it's a maradiki. So the Rambam says, stop getting angry. So I think to myself, like, I could have been Maimonides. You know, like that. That's what you get. But it's an incredible insight, because what is the Rambam saying? We'll say when it comes to negative character traits, you know, we live in a very mental health driven society, and we assume that every single problem we have, we can't solve on our own. Now it's true, some things you absolutely need professional help, but 98% of things you can handle on your own. You just have to make a decision that you actually want to tackle it. So the Rambam says, I have a problem with anger, so I'm a kasson. How do I deal with that? Stop getting angry. Make a conscious decision to control my temper. That's it. So the Rebbe therefore says something amazing, that a person could be too much of an Oved Hashem. So it's a very simple yisod. You know, a person, you know, this is a scene that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh writes about this, about how he writes about a mitzvah, Hababa Aveira. So he gives a very contemporary example. He says, what happens? It's Erev Shabbos, and I'm trying to get ready for Shabbos, and somebody's in the bathroom, whatever it is. So what happens? You know, come on, get out. When are you going to get out? It's Shabbos. So in the quest, of course, for Shabbos, you're making someone else's life miserable. So I'll say, so that's, there has to be a gvul. when you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be, again, according to the Rebbe, can't be Yoser Midai, it can't be too much, and it has to be B'mida B'gvul Madrigaso Yachaloso. It also has to be in accordance with, a person has to know, I have to know what my abilities are, I have to know what my reach is, so I have to know ultimately, again, what goals to set for myself, what's realistic for me. So I might say, you know what, I want to wake up every single night and say Tikkun Chatzos. Very noble, right? Is it good to say Tikkun Chatzos? Not a trick question.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, it's good to say Tikkun Chatzos. Here's the only issue. If I wake up to say Tikkun Chatzos, I don't get up until 10 o'clock in the morning. Okay. So we'll say, so we do our cost-benefit analysis, and we realize that that's not a good idea. That's not, I mean, but 1 second, but Tikkun Chatzos is great. Isn't Tikkun Chatzos good? Of course, the greatest problem that people make in the context of religion is that they look at religion in a vacuum instead of looking at it in a spectrum. That when I decide how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it can't just be like a one-off decision. It's got to be part of my tapestry of life. Here is who I am. Here is what I am. Here is what I do. Here is what I don't do. Here is what I do well. Here's what and then I have to figure out, based on all of that, how do I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Therefore, says the Rebbe, is it good to be passionate about the Ribono Shel Olam? Of course it is. But if there's too much passion that ultimately goes ahead and derails me in life and allows me to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu but detracts and diminishes from all other things in my existence, that's not the right Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem has to be done in measure with Chachma, Kafiyah, Chalasu, Majigasa. There's another piece of what I'll say, which is, I have to be self-aware. I have to be self-aware. I have to know what I can handle and what I can't handle. Because what's the problem? I'll say this, by the way, you know this happens all the time. This happens in Chodesh Elul. So what happens usually for many people in Chodesh Elul, I take upon myself a whole bunch of Kabbalahs. And then usually what's going on around Hanukkah time? Right? No one here knows, but other people have said, right, that by Hanukkah time, pretty much all that stuff is by the wayside. Now, why is that? Now, often that's bothersome when I think about it. Why is that? I mean, why didn't I hold to my resolutions? So the answer very often is because I may have overextended myself. Meaning, the idea is that sometimes in that pre-Yom HaDin frenzy, I want to become a tzaddik overnight, right? I want to become like a tzaddik right now. So how do I become a tzaddik right now? I have to do these 15 things. That'll make me into a tzaddik. The problem is that those 15 things are not sustainable. So the problem is when I realize they're not sustainable, I'm left with nothing. So the Rebbe says that when figuring out how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, person has to know themselves. So I have to make sure, again, that I'm going to be able to still be a functional part of society. I have to make sure that I'm taking the middle path. I have to make sure that I'm doing what I'm doing that's within reach, that I'm capable of sustaining this. He says, "Ve'im ya'ase l'malo m'madrigoso, v'yotzer m'yachaloso, lo yuchalamo baza." Because what's the cloud goal is that if I go ahead and I try to climb above my madrega, and I try to do beyond my abilities, I will be unable to sustain this. V'yachol lipol legamre me'avodas Hashem. What's right? This is an amazing thing about human psychology. How sometimes what ends up happening is I start out wanting to accomplish A. If A is too far out of my reach, I should say, I started wanting to accomplish B. If B is too far out of my reach, so often what happens is it's not the pshat that I settle for, you know, A minus or a little bit less, but often I chuck the whole thing. If I can't do what I was originally going to do, then the truth is a person sometimes gives up everything. And the Rebbe says, what a tragedy. Because a person sometimes I overextend myself, I reach too far. And I will say, the cloud gadol in setting goals in life is that your goals are never supposed to be within reach. Because if your goals are within reach, you're setting them too low. But at the same time, if your goals are too far in front of you, then they're unattainable. So the Klal Gadol with goals is they're supposed to be just out of reach. I'm just out of reach. Enough that I know that if I push myself a little bit more, I'll be able to attain them. But if they're too far out of reach, I set myself up for failure. And often our reaction to failure is just simply to go ahead and forsake the entire endeavor, forsake the entire process, just give it all up. So Rebbe explains, these are the two fires that often burn within the heart of man. There's a good fire. There's a good fire, and that fire is an all-consuming fire to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, to be one with the Shekhinah, to achieve a level of Dveikus at all costs, no matter what. There's a second kind of fire. The second kind of fire is a negative fire, where a person mamish just has taivas, desires for all kinds of things. Turn the page. And again, so if you notice, by the way, the Rebbe doesn't go into much detail with the fire about ta'avas olam hazeh, the desires of olam hazeh. Why doesn't the Rebbe get too into this? Because he doesn't have to explain it to the reader, right? Right, this one we got. Right? This one I absolutely understand, because this is the one, you know, sometimes when I read the first part, I say to myself, wow, I wish like that was my Nisayon. Right? I wish my Nisayon was that I was too on fire with Avodas Hashem, and that my Avodas Hashem just took up everything in my life. Now you understand, Rabbi Nachman did deal with that. Rabbi Nachman says, and this is very interesting, we'll see this, that the Rebbe says that he struggled with two things, quite interesting. He struggled with ta'avas noshin, and ta'avas ma'achal, a desire for women, a desire for intimacy, and a desire for food, which is interesting. But the Rebbe is saying that he struggled with very material. Now, what's Rabbi Nachman's desire, what that means? I don't know. I don't know if that's the same as regular people. A lot of people so struggle with those things. I don't know what his struggle looked like, but what he's saying over here is the Rebbe understands that sometimes that fire, that tavas olam hazeh, is important, but equally as destructive is the other fire for Avodas Hashem. He'll say, you know, that sometimes people commit the worst acts in the name of God. You know, because when you feel like you are the servant of the Ribono Shel Olam, you feel like you have a license to do whatever you want because you're on a holy war. And the truth is, I'm not talking about by the Umos Olam, I'm talking about, again, just by us. Some of the worst behaviors that sometimes are perpetrated under the umbrella, under the guise of Torah, or under the guise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covet. And the Rebbe says, that's a destructive fire. Okay, now watch this. And this is amazing. Va'ayedea Torah, Nitzol Mishne Mine Ha'ish Hazu. The Rebbe says something amazing. Through Torah, a person could be saved from both of these fires. What does this mean? Ki HaTorah HaKidosha Hi Bechinas Hareya HaMinasheves Al Halev Lekarer Hamimuso. Because the Torah is like the lungs that blow air onto the heart to cool down the heart from its internal heat. Now, how do you get that? Ki hareya miramezes l'Torah, because the lungs are connected to Torah. How so? Ki reya da maya. It goes to Zohar from Parashas Pinchas that the lungs are related to the reya is water. So what does that mean? Umaya da Torah, and water ultimately is Torah, right? Water synonymous with Torah. So therefore, again, this is like, you know, what is it? Is it the Pythagorean theorem? If A equals B, B equals C, then A equals C.
A squared plus B squared.
All right, that's logic. Yeah. Right, logic. I was very impressed. Right, so now what the Rebbe is saying is like this. So now we know that Torah is called water. Ha'adam nitzal gam mehislavus dikdusha shuyo semidai vegam mehislavus ha'ish hara shatavas olam hazeh. Let's see. One of Rabbi Nachman says something amazing. You know what Torah does? Torah makes you normal. I was saying, I always joke, you know, the word normal. So who's normal? People like me. Right? I mean, I'm the poster for normal. Somebody's like me is normal. Anybody to the right, to the left, up, down, they're abnormal. I'm normal. So there was just something amazing. He says, Torah. We actually just had this in Daf Yomi of Derachah Darchei Noam. Right? The ways of the Torah are pleasant. Now, what does that mean? The idea is that if you go ahead and you learn Torah, if you steep yourself in Torah, you become a well-rounded, well-balanced person. That's what Torah does. Torah has a normalizing, stabilizing effect. It makes you into a derech hamamutza. It makes you into an even-keeled, balanced, middle-road type of individual. So that's why you see, by the way, that true gedolim, almost have like an innate sense of equilibrium, incredible equilibrium. They're, for lack of a better term, they're normal. They're normal. Why? Because that's the power of Torah. Derachah Darchei Noam means, what does it mean that ways of Torah are pleasant? It means that Torah helps you to find that equilibrium in life, that middle path. And therefore, says the Rebbe, the amazing part is, all of us contend with these two fires. It's an amazing thing. I'm being drawn in one of two directions. I'm either being drawn to the fires of Ta'avah, desire of this world, or I'm being drawn to the fire of Avodas Hashem. So we're always conditioned to think that being drawn to the fire of Avodas Hashem is exactly what we should be doing. And the Rebbe says, a little bit of fire is good. You know, a little bit of fire is constructive, right? Why? You can warm yourself by it. You can light up a room by it. A lot of fire is potentially destructive. So the Rebbe says, so how do you find the middle ground? The middle ground ultimately is Torah. When you learn, you become normal. When you learn, you become stable. When you learn, you become grounded and rooted. When you learn, you achieve life equilibrium. And that life equilibrium helps you to balance. What do you have to balance? I can balance the ish of Ta'avas Olam Hazeh with the ish of Avodas Hashem. Because, Rabbi, you understand, the reality is, you need both of those fires, right? You understand that? Without either one of those fires, if you don't have the fires of Ta'avas Olam Hazeh, then what happens? Say a person doesn't have the fires of Ta'avas of Olam Hazeh, what happens?
It doesn't accomplish anything.
You understand, the Ta'avas of Olam Hazeh can be very powerful if channeled in the right way. So remember again, person didn't have Ta'avas of Olam Hazeh, they would have no Ta'ava to build a career. Now again, on the other hand, the problem is, if the Ta'ava of Olam Hazeh is all there is, then that Ta'ava to build a career becomes self-serving and egocentric. The fire of Avodas Hashem says, sure, build a career. Become a Baal Tzedakah, become an Askan, help Aniyim, Ducha, all different kinds of things. So you need to have that synthesis. You have to have both fires, Olam Hazeh, Ta'avas of Olam Hazeh, Ta'avas of Avodas Hashem. But again, how do you get to the middle part between those two fires? And the answer says the Rebbe is Torah. I just want to tell you something. This is another important piece. Because often, you know, we live in a very, result-driven society. Right? So meaning, if I'm going to do, which is not always a bad thing, but if I'm going to do something, I want, like, what am I getting out of it? So people often have this mindset with learning also, that I'm willing to learn, but what am I getting out of it? You know, I'm a big fan of Daf Yomi. So many Daf Yomi detractors say, come on, what are you getting out of it? Right, doing a Blat Gemara in 45 minutes, how much can you possibly retain? People say, but here's the Gadlus. The Gadlus says the Rebbe is, and this is the most well-kept secret, Talmud Torah is not about knowledge. It's not. Talmud Torah is not about how much you remember. And Talmud Torah is not about how many shilas you can answer, what you can pass, and how many halakim of shulchan aruch. Talmud Torah is about being steeped in kedusha. Because when you envelop yourself in holiness, you just become a different person. And that is true. Again, I'm all for remembering the Gemara if possible. But that is true whether you remember the Gemara or not. Whether you remember this shir, whether you remember this Maimar Rabbi Nachman, tomorrow at the Shabbos table, it doesn't change the fact that coming on an Erev Shabbos and learning the Rebbe's Torah by definition steeps one in Kedusha. It's holiness. And says that about being steeped in Kedusha has a stabilizing impact on me. It changes. Listen, remember I think I mentioned this. Rabbi Nachman had a very interesting Derech HaLimud. Remember his Derech HaLimud? What did the Rebbe say? If you get to a sugya that you don't understand in Gemara, remember what was the Rebbe's Eitzah? Keep going. it's like if you have a yeshiva, if you have a yeshiva background, it's like offensive to say something like that. Like, keep going. No, you get into it. Because what was Rebbe's logic? Rebbe's logic was, you know what? You're going to figure it out. Learn on. Keep going. You'll figure it. How will you figure it out? Because the more you're steeped in Torah, the more you understand things. So Rebbe says, you might not understand it through this first journey of Shas. But you know what? The second time you see that sugya, maybe the third time you see that sugya, you will come to understand. Maybe not now, but at some point in time in the future, you will come to understand it. Watch this. And we'll say this, I can't emphasize this enough. The power of this yisod is so important. It's important, by the way, in the way we raise our children. It's important in terms of our own lives, of making sure, and we'll say, it's not just enough, you know, to go to shul and to daven and to learn. Person has to make sure that they're steeped in the right environment. The environment around me has to be a cocoon of kedusha. If the people I'm hanging around with, the people I associate with, or the activities I engage in are not done by kedusha b'tara, that erodes the holiness of a person. But one second, what aveira did I do? So the answer is also, we know, You don't have to be doing any kind of avera to be chipping away at the foundation of your holiness. The idea, the yisod in life is you have to surround yourself in a cocoon of kedusha. And the great part is if you surround yourself in that cocoon, then at the end of the day, the kedusha will come. Now, understand what I will say, incredible yisod for raising our children also. One of the most important things that we have to do for our children is to cocoon them in kedusha. It doesn't mean cut them off from the world. It doesn't mean, you know, keep them in a cave. But to the best of our ability to provide that bubble of kedusha so that they could grow up, that they could be nurtured, that they could be normal, that they could be stable, that they could find the right balance between those two fires is so important. So look what the Rebbe says. V'zeh merumaz b'pasuk. Here's the punchline. This is the so get ready for this. I promised you amazing stuff. Here it is. V'zeh merumaz b'pasuk. V'ayu ha'kruvim parse k'nafayim sheheim kanfei harea haynu ha'torah Shemina Sheves ala Kaporas. So I get ready for this. Remember again, what was bothering the Rebbe? Why is it that by the Kruvim, the wings are extended upwards? So Rabbi Nachman suggests that what is the image that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to convey to us? So see the two pictures I put on here? It's amazing the similarity, right? What's the picture? What's the image? The Kruvim are supposed to look like lungs. They're supposed to look like the Reya. You could even see it, mamish, like a spitting image. And we'll say, even if you notice, look at the front. You have the Kruvim, and then the wings are extended upward like the lungs. And look, in between the two Kruvim, you have the space. Go down to the bottom picture, what do you see? You have the lungs, and you have the space. And what's in the middle of the space there? It's the heart. It's the heart. Says the Rebbe something so beautiful. The Kruvim shall have their wings extended upwards. They're supposed to represent the lungs. Hainu haTorah, and they're supposed to represent ultimately again the Torah. Shemina Sheves ala Kaporas, and the lungs in the Kruvim, the wings are blowing air upon the Kaporas. So we'll say, what's the Kaporas? The Zohar say, Al Kaporasa deliba. On the kapores, the lid of the heart. The hainu al tav'iras halev. Says the Rebbe, this is so amazing. Says the Rebbe that the whole imagery and the whole message of the Kruvim is that they were supposed to represent the lungs sitting on top of the heart. What is it about the lungs that ultimately, again, is able to cool down the fires of the heart? The Kruvim are sitting right on top of it, which is what? Which is Torah. Torah represents the lungs. Torah represents the air. Torah represents the stabilizing effect that is able to cool down the heart. He says, "Ki b'loha Torah lo hayu ha'adam iskayim klal chas v'shalom." Because without Torah, a person wouldn't even be able to exist. Ki haya nisraf u'misbatel miriboy hataver sheyesh bo l'tov yosher midai olara chas v'shalom ki nirali. Because the Rebbe says, without Torah, ultimately, again, a person would just simply self-incinerate as a result of the great fire for Taivas of Olam Hazeh, or the great fires, ultimately, again, of Avodas Hashem. So Moshe, therefore, says the Rebbe, and I still can't get over this. I learned it today, I'm learning it again now, I still can't get over this. So I said, this is the symbolism of the Aron Abris, the Parsei Knafayim, representing the lungs, with the heart in between, sitting on top of the Torah, representing the idea that Torah has the cooling effect on the heart. And the lesson is a threefold lesson. First of all, understand the poles, the extremes in which we are pulled in life. Some of us are pulled towards the Eish of Olam Hazeh. Some of us are pulled towards the Eish of Avodas Hashem. But says the Rebbe, both Eishim, both fires are destructive. Both fires could incinerate the individual. The goal is to be in the middle and to synthesize both. And how do you do that? Torah. By steeping oneself in holiness, by surrounding oneself with Kedusha, one is able to establish that middle ground, one is able to establish that normalcy, and one is able to create that synergistic partnership between the Eish of Olam Hazeh and the Eish of Avodas Hashem. All right, we'll stop over here. Amazing, no? And the pictures are yours. So now you can take it, show it to your friends.
The amazing, fire, no? Right?
The calling is to put the tourists.